This is Money Moves on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Kicking off hour two, Money Moves live on VSiN, the sports betting network, Sirius XM channel 158. Coming at you from downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. He's Jonathan Von Tobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Why are we clapping? What's happening?
The Browns have named Joe Flacco the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns.
Whoa. Did you cash it? Did you fire on a minus 390?
Come on.
That's Flacco to be QB1?
That's what the clap was for. I mean, like, what? Like, God, I can't say that. But like,
could you not fire on it live?
No.
You couldn't get in?
Not a FanDuel Ontario.
Dang.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's such a good example from a betting perspective. You will hear so many people tell you that minus, like, over minus 200, you can't play that. Like, that was an information-based thing where it's like every single thing was screaming Joe Flacco was the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. The only thing that was going to happen between now and then was that he's abducted by aliens and he can't start week one.
This was like the worst-kept secret in the world.
Yes. Now, I will say, you don't want to be negative Nancy or dark, but I would assume the stipulation is takes the first snap.
Mm-hmm.
So,
correct.
You know, you still have practices, all sorts of things. But
can't
at least
get
for right now,
the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, for right now, he has been named the starting quarterback week one. And, I mean, nobody is surprised at all.
No.
I'm surprised that price was that cheap. For audience, by the way, I don't think we've noticed it. We were talking earlier. Flacco over at FanDuel was minus 390 just 30 minutes ago to be the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns in week one.
Yeah, we were discussing that. That just, it seems off. That seems very cheap because what about this quarterback competition has told you it'll be anybody else, especially just considering reps alone with the first team. That said, we did see Dylan Gabriel, who came back from an injury this weekend. His first action, 13 of 18 for 143 yards against the Eagles, did have two turnovers, including a pick six. That was not his fault, though, I think is fair to say. Meanwhile, Sanders still day-to-day dealing with that oblique, and Kenny Pickett been nursing a hamstring, but according to head coach Kevin Stefanski, hopeful that we will see both of those guys do more on-field work this weekend. We also, speaking of on-field work, saw Matthew Stafford in the last 20 minutes or so actually hit the practice field for the first time this preseason in training camp with the Los Angeles Rams, be dealing with an aggravated disc in his back. Not a lot of work, it appears like, based on the handful of videos that we have seen, but very notable nonetheless that he is out there.
Yes. Sorry, I was reading Joe Flacco stuff. You were talking about Stafford, right?
All good. Yeah, we talked about it a lot already on the show, so we don't need to hammer
sure.
it down.
I just want to make sure.
We'll give a further update once we hear anything from Sean McVay.
Yes.
Because so far we were even laughing in a commercial break just going through some of these videos where, okay, yeah, cool, he's doing the individual drills. He does one thing.
Dude.
And then he walks off to the side.
My term was, as the kids say, it's a psyop. We'll
see. I said, what is that? I've never heard of that in my
life.
It's
a psyop.
Where does that come from? Why do the kids say it? What does it mean?
Just the internet. It's all just noise to confuse you at this point right now. Like, we'll see. Again, the individuals, like you said, the one throw, walking around like he's an old man. Just see how he responds. Let's just see how we respond.
We'll have a little bit more NFL talk at the end of the hour. We do have one preseason game still coming up with the Commanders and Bengals going head-to-head today. 3.5-point spread there. 4.5-point move on the total toward the over up to 43.5. We'll also get into the full MLB slate coming up in 15 minutes. VSiN's own Josh Applebaum is going to join the show in 30 minutes as well, give some of his thoughts on the slate, where the market is moving in a handful of games. But I do want to kick things off talking a little college football here.
Because it kicks off on Saturday.
And before we get to those games, though, and a handful of line moves that we have seen on those games, we got some news out of the Ohio State University. Official Julian Sain will be the starting quarterback for the Buckeyes. I know Ryan Day tried to pitch us that this was a true three-man battle for the quarterback position, but no, Julian Sain is your starting quarterback.
News in terms of its weight on par with Joe Flacco being named the starting quarterback.
Fitting
that they're both coming out of the state of Ohio. There is an argument to be made of, you know, this is kind of worrisome. Is this kid really getting pushed? But at the same time, I think it's all just, hey, you know what? Make the kid feel like he's earned it. Kind of push him a little bit here. Nothing is given sort of deal. I have faith that they're in pretty good hands here in the big picture with Julian Sain. Maybe it doesn't hit right away. Obviously, a pretty fascinating matchup right away when you take on Texas to start the season. But either way, I think that there was really, I don't want to say never a question, but similar to what we talked about with the Browns, I was going to be very surprised if it wasn't Julian Sain.
Yes.
not named the starting quarterback for the Ohio State Buckeyes for week one.
Ohio State was number 4 in Our Money Moves College Football Top 25, number 3 in the recent AP that came out a week or two ago. This is a team that, despite coming off of winning a national championship, had a lot of turnover coming into this year. And we talk about so many of these programs as, well, hey, they still reloaded. Look at all the talent that they have back. And that's true, but it's still worth noting. New offensive and defensive coordinator, new quarterback, new running back room. Your top 3 sack getters are gone. There's a ton of talent across the board, and that's why they're given the ranking and the status that they are, and why they are a favorite in that opening season game at home against Texas. But definitely a lot of change to be aware of.
They are a favorite, but we should note that it is 2.5 minus 110 across the board. So I always, you know, you always like to play these games. Just reading the board tells you something, right? And the fact that there is a key number of minus 2.5 just floating out there with no problem whatsoever would at least tell you that the people that shape the market are not rushing to lay 2.5 with Ohio State right now. And I'm, you know, curious about that. Texas seems to be, and rightfully so, thought very highly of. Obviously, what Arch Manning could be, will be, whatever it is, a lot of people think that he's going to hit the ground running, and this is going to be a pretty seamless transition and even an upgrade from Quinn Ewers to Arch. But I always found that interesting, the fact that this line, it's been sitting at 2.5 for a long time. And, in fact, I mean, I don't know if this is accurate. I'll have to go check. One offshore shop showing 1.5 on the screen.
Wow.
So.
Okay. Well, and obviously very high expectations, as you alluded to, when it comes to Arch Manning and what that's going to be. He's a Heisman Trophy favorite. Very high expectations. That said, let's get to some of the games that we do have showing up this weekend. A 5-game slate. Kansas State, Iowa, Sam Houston State, Western Kentucky, Fresno State, Kansas, Idaho State, UNLV, and then the nightcap for if you lost your money at the beginning of the day, Stanford at Hawaii to close things out, which we do not advise chasing, by the way.
No.
But I know that's what that game has become known for over the years.
Sadly early. I think it's a 4:30 p.m. kickoff time. Yeah. So I don't, like, come on, we need this at 9 o'clock. All right, so out of all these, Iowa State, Kansas State is obviously going to be the higher handled contest and the most popular one. I am very curious to see where this ultimately goes, because we saw this get to 4 at the early portion of August, and we've slowly kind of come back down. We ping-pong back and forth here at Circa from 2.5 to 3, and 3 is like the predominant number across the board. Similar to what we're talking about here with the number for Ohio State and Texas, there doesn't seem to be a rush to grab this 3 with Iowa State on a neutral, so I think it gives you an idea. I'm leaning a little bit toward like K-State, my initial thought, because I like Rocco Becht. I like what this offense was last year, was that maybe Iowa State was going to be pretty live catching 3. But the more you look at it, kind of retooling a defensive front, a defensive line that's kind of getting rebuilt to an extent, a defensive front that really, if you looked at it statistically, wasn't great against the run last year, and now having to face K-State's offense, which I think can run the ball relatively well, I think I'll be curious to see if this gets under 3 again, because I think K-State will be pretty live to cover that number out there in Ireland coming up this weekend.
I'm sure it doesn't surprise you that I leaned Kansas State as well. Given
love Avery Johnson.
I do have an affinity for Avery Johnson. I think he's a lot better than what he showed last year. We talked about a lot of the reasons why the midseason hip injury that he was dealing with really did change, I think, his confidence. He had some turnover issues, but another year fully as a starter under his belt finally. What can he do to build off of that this year? You do lose Giddens in the wide receiver room, but Dylan Edwards has potential to be great. They go way back as like kids when they were little friends. Love this receiver unit. Matt Wells being the offensive coordinator, and like that comfort and continuity that the two of them have together with Avery Johnson. And you mentioned that K-State defensive line, that front 7 should be really good.
Well, and Beck, you know, I think there's a couple of red flags. So first off, obviously the receiver room gets, you know, retooled after losing a couple guys to the draft. But in 3 key categories, you saw Beck regress last year. Yards per attempt went from 8.5 to 7.6. Completion percentage went from 62.6% down to 59%. His turnover-worthy play rate went up from 2.6% to 3.6%. So, you know, fewer yards per attempt, lower completion percentage, higher rate of putting the ball in danger. It's not a direction that you want to go in as a starting quarterback, especially when you're traveling to a neutral site with a new set of receivers against a – I don't think this counts as a conference game, correct, but a conference foe nonetheless. The more I've looked at this, the more I've very much been in that direction of, I think K-State wouldn't shock me if they go off as like 4-point favorites by the time we get to kickoff.
I am pumped for this game, a Big 12 banger off the start. And for two people sitting at this desk that are very intrigued by that conference and who is going to be the kind of cream that rises to the top of that league, I think this is a good tone setter for what we might get. A big line move in Sam Houston State, Western Kentucky from WKU from 7.5-point favorites out to 10 now in most spots. Yeah. We also have Kansas and Fresno State. Kansas down from 14.5 to 13. So the Bulldogs getting a little buy-in there. And the Stanford-Hawaii game sitting at 2.5, depending on where you look right now. Any of those other games you ended up firing on?
No, but I will say this.
Or might we by the end of the week?
Yeah, right.
Barring the end of the week.
I will say, I'm going to be interested in Kansas if it continues to drop. I'm not a big EJ Warner guy, and he was just named the starting quarterback over at Fresno State. Some pretty mundane numbers across the board. High turnover-worthy play rate if he's going to go out there and put the ball in danger consistently against Kansas. Now, the problem is, I actually think Fresno's defense, their strength is going to be that defensive backfield. And Kansas, with Daniels back and kind of retooling their own wide receiver room, how does that look like against Fresno State? But I think that they're going to be in a position here where their quarterback's not going to do them any favors, essentially. Having said that, you know, again, kind of reading the market, and this is the cool part, especially the early portion of the year, you're going to see these volatile line moves because this is the market working itself out and, like, kind of tightening up, and those that shape the market, shaping it the way that they want it to be. And so for this to be really, you know, solidly in the direction of Fresno State, I don't know if that's pro-Fresno or anti-Kansas, but either way, I'll be curious to see how low it gets because Kansas would intrigue me as somebody who's not, like, the highest on Fresno State and how their offense is going to look.
Agree. While we're on the Mountain West, UNLV is also playing coming up on Saturday. Lane, I think it's like 25.5 against Idaho State where those are available. First time we're going to see what this Rebels team looks like under new head coach Dan Mullen.
I am very interested. Still haven't named a starting quarterback from what I've seen or heard. So, I'll say this really quick. In these situations where you get the big favorite against an opponent that is a little outmatched, generally you see them trying to run it up, right? You're opening your era at home.
I was going to say, he would love to make a statement that first game. He's talked about how he wants the Rebels to put on a show, being the best show in Vegas, one of those things, right? So we'll see. And we do appreciate, of course, earlier when Mountain West Media Days were hosted here at Circa, Dan Mullen was kind enough to join us in studio on the desk. We're going to step aside when we come back, breaking down the MLB card for today, some potential bets, and a look ahead to how the season might play out.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before the line moves, the sharp plays is already here. They don't just follow the market, they help move it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sportsbooks or full-time sharps on your own, but with the sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI and plugged into trusted insider sources, sharp plays delivers the edge serious bettors use every day. Get free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights sent straight to your inbox or X feed. Since 2011, the sharp plays has delivered documented results, public logs, and transparent receipts. Check it out today if you haven't already. Visit sharpplays.com and stay ahead of the line. That's sharpplays.com. Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you back here on Money Moves. Going to see if we can find some edges here on the MLB slate. 13 games ahead, including a doubleheader in Brewers Cubs. A lot of interesting series and division rivalries coming up this week. I mentioned Brewers Cubs off the top, but Astros Tigers, Mariners Phillies later this week, Red Sox Yankees, more Dodgers Padres as we talked to earlier. So fun week in MLB.
Yes, very much looking forward to the start of these series. Like you said, a lot of series of magnitude. Really good pitching matchups today specifically, very much looking forward to. And the best part is we get matinee baseball. So for those of you who are complaining every day, Greg Peterson, that there is no day baseball, well, you get it today.
We do. We do. And the first of those is involving the Brewers and Cubs. First of five games in the division series this week, a doubleheader today. Milwaukee held just a one-game lead over the Cubs in the NL Central entering the month of August. Now, after this crazy stretch of wins they had, they're up eight games in the division. Got Freddie Peralta and Cade Horton going head-to-head in this one today. And we are seeing the Brew Crew get played a little bit here because earlier when we were on the air, the Cubs were around minus 119, minus 120. Currently at DraftKings, minus 113. The Brewers minus 107 run total here in this early game sit in eight.
Yeah, I didn't really see that there was like some massive edge here. So like you mentioned, we're heading in the direction of Milwaukee. Freddie Peralta in the recent form that we have seen him in here in pretty solid form outside of the start three starts ago against Chicago, right? Went out to Chicago. Actually, there's a home game and pitched four, got toasted for five earned runs, walked four. It was the worst of Peralta, but has since bounced back with just one earned run over the course of his last 11 innings pitched. So maybe it's a matchup deal here for Peralta. But as you mentioned, the market's moving in their direction. And for Cade Horton, not a guy that I think you're I would say, like, running to the window for. He has been pitching extremely well over this recent stretch of games. 5 2/3 way back on July 20th. Since then, he has given up one earned run. But there is some regression numbers in what I'm referring to here. 3.07 ERA for the season, 3.74 FIP. So maybe there's a little bit of a run to try to at least get Horton to revert back to form and why the market's moving against him. But didn't really see anything that I thought was worth crazy, like, jumping in on in the early game here. Obviously, how the bullpen gets used today, too, very big for the late game tonight.
It's just crazy how good the Brewers have been. And I don't want to say fortunate, because obviously if you're able to come back in games as often as you are, there's some skill to it. But over that 14-game win streak that was snapped yesterday, outscoring opponents 119-52, and just the way that they have surged in the division out to a minus 1,100 favorite now in the NL Central over the Cubs, very impressive. Another one of these big ones coming up, Tigers-Astros. Nice little rematch, the 2024 AL wildcard. Tigers lost 8 of their 9 games coming out of the All-Star break and have since gotten back on track, 13-7 last 20, 7-3 their last 10 games. Houston coming off a rough weekend series against the Orioles, lost 2 of 3, were outscored 23-5 in that. Tigers are, what, a half game back of the Blue Jays in the AL, 3 games up on the Astros. Detroit minus 156 favorites today, run total 8.
Yeah, so I agree with what the market's doing. We've seen some buyback finally coming up, but some spots offshore open as low as minus 138. Now, like you mentioned, the current price at some spots at minus 156, minus 150 and plus 136 at a couple of different spots as well in terms of the splits. Look, Spencer Arrighetti is getting the start. One of the better names of baseball, Spaghetti. The command has been a very big issue for Arrighetti throughout his entire career. And again, we're seeing it here in a somewhat small sample size so far this season. 6.38 ERA, 4.92 fielding independent in the 4 games which he's appeared and started in. But that's exactly what he has been throughout the course of his career. If you remember last year, 145 innings pitched, 4.53 ERA, the walk rate very high, walked over 4 guys every 9 innings. This is just going to be the case. Like, he's going to be out there probably putting Houston behind the eight ball at times with the way that he's been pitching. On the other side, it's not like Flaherty has been great this season, right? When you look at his overall metrics and his trustworthiness, 124 2/3, 4.76 ERA, but he's at least got some regression signs, right? The 4 flat in terms of the fielding independent. The expected ERA is a little bit lower too. Strikeout to walk ratio is a little bit stronger than what you're talking about with Arrighetti. So I think the Tigers at home here with Flaherty, if, again, we start to head in that direction where some regression hits for Flaherty and Arrighetti is his usual self, I thought the earlier initial prices, like $1.38, was fair to lay. So we're at the point now where I think the ship has sailed, but I do think the Tigers are the side here today.
Worth noticing here, while we do have Houston involved, we got an update on Yordan Alvarez, who's been out since May 2nd with a fractured right hand. He will begin a minor league rehab assignment and play a few games for AA Corpus Christi beginning this week. According to Dana Brown, would play Tuesday, rest Wednesday, and then play back-to-back games. Brown said Alvarez could return next weekend in Baltimore as the target.
Yeah, definitely worth mentioning. Since his injury, this has been a pretty middling lineup. They're floating around like 13th to 15th in a lot of key different metrics as an offense. So, and he's one of the better hitters in baseball, and he's fully healthy. So you get him back in that lineup, and all of a sudden maybe you're looking at an Astros team that becomes a little bit more formidable. And let us not forget, they're still in a division race, which we were lambasting the San Diego Padres earlier. Looking at you too, Mariners, who all of a sudden lose 2 straight series and can't really string wins together as Houston Astros.
It's like right when we start talking really glowingly about a team is when that always happens.
Yep. So big if Alvarez is going to come back and they're in contention for this.
So might as well, I guess, shift there. Mariners and Phillies, Logan Gilbert and Ranger Suarez going head-to-head here. Phillies around minus 115, so a slight favorite here. Mariners minus 105, run total 8.
So, all right, so there's a couple of things that were mentioned here. What we mentioned, the fact that the Mariners are kind of slipping and sliding a bit over these last 2 series. I also thought from a pricing standpoint, this is what we're referring to a little bit here, which is, you know, you open this pick, and I'm like, you know, like Logan Gilbert's great, but I feel like from a pricing standpoint with some of these powers that we're talking about, the winners of the trade deadline, maybe we've gotten out a little far with the way that we're pricing them. Suarez getting the start, as we've talked about before, he can be all over the place at times, but he's still a quality caliber starting, starting pitcher, 3.28 ERA, 3.27 fielding independent. What you see is what you get with him. I feel like the Phillies deserve not only to be favored in a game in which they open up a pick, but to a slightly larger degree than even where we're at right now. You know, I thought about $1.20, $1.25. So I would agree with where the market is slightly heading in this direction, where we're starting to see Philly favored across the board.
Another game I saw you had your eyes on was the Orioles in Boston taking on the Red Sox. Yeah. Dustin May going for Boston, Trevor Rogers for the road Orioles, who are getting a little bit better than even money on the road, plus 102, looking at Boston, minus 124. And this run total, I want to say opened 9, and we're seeing 8.5 on DraftKings, but a lot of 8s out there as well, so some money to the under.
My man has been unreal. If you look at Trevor Rogers since he has come back here, it's been absolutely crazy to see. He has given up more than 2 earned runs in just one start so far this year. .143 ERA, fielding independence at .245, and he is going deep into these games. You look at these last 4, Stormy, he has pitched at least 7 innings in 3 of the last 4 outings. He has been absolutely fantastic. And so I'm just more morbidly curious about this game than anything else. Can he keep this up and put his team in position to potentially steal this thing from Dustin May and the Red Sox? May is, you know, Dustin May, he's fine. He hasn't pitched particularly well. Also worth mentioning outside of the pitching performance you're going to get here is we saw the Orioles over the weekend call up their top guy, and Sam Baseo actually hit the ball really well. He was robbed of a home run in the game, eventually got his first major league hit. So if this lineup's like a little bit stronger and you get a really good performance here from Rogers, as he has just been consistently doing in every single start, you can make the case the Orioles are a little live here. At least the market move would indicate that that is the case, or at least the belief of those who are shaping this.
You know I can't do it. I just hate this.
Yeah, of course.
Team.
I know. That's why I wanted to bring this up, too. I mean, like, Rogers has been absolutely unreal with the way that he's been pitching in some of these games. It's nuts.
Yeah. This is another game we're going to discuss in a few minutes when Josh Applebaum joins the program. But I think worth noting, whenever Paul Skenes is on the hill, taking on Kevin Gausman in this Pirates-Blue Jays contest, Skenes looking to bounce back after a tough outing against the Brewers last week. Gave up 2 homers, 4 runs on 6 hits and 4 innings, 2 walks, just 4 strikeouts in what was an eventual 14-0 shutout drubbing, giving up 4 earned runs, by the way, in 2 of his last 3 starts.
Yeah.
So is this something you could see continue today against what is a pretty good Blue Jays lineup?
I mean, I think you could. I also think you could just make the argument that, like, from a pricing standpoint, it's not that Skenes is not worth being priced like this, but his team is just not good enough for his own gravity to alter the price to this degree. Does that make sense? Like, you know, you see how little run support he gets most of the times. Then the few times in which he turns mortal, it's absolutely ugly because your team's not going to give you the run support for the most part to really at least support you when you're not performing very well. So a team like Pittsburgh against Toronto, I totally understand why you saw this open minus 120. You're like, Paul Skenes be damned. Like, these teams aren't really that close to one another.
2-1-3 ERA, yet a 7-9 win-loss record. And like I said, he hasn't been as sharp recently.
Yeah.
So 4 earned runs, 2 of his last 3 starts. He gave up 2 combined the 5 starts prior, right? So whatever has been going on with him lately, he's been taken advantage of. And Pirates lineup, to your point, one of the worst in Major League Baseball, especially over the last month in just about every offensive statistic. So we'll talk this game more in a bit. Josh Applebaum has a play here, handful of other Major League Baseball games, and very curious to hear about this Bo Nix prop that he has been targeting and why. Stick around, more Money Moves coming up after this.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Rolling along on this Monday edition of Money Moves, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM channel 158, alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. Remember, if you missed any of the program, you can always download Money Moves in podcast form wherever you get your podcasts. And we appreciate y'all chiming in with us on social media as well, at MeJVT, at Storm Bonantoni, at VSiN Live. Robert, with all of the Colts talk that we have had today, says to you, any chance the Colts lose by 30 to Miami and the Ursay sisters say it's time to tank for Manning? Colts most losses sitting there at 28-1.
Well, they're going to win week one, so there's the first problem. No, I would say in all seriousness, I've seen this thrown around like the last couple of weeks. I think we're making a lot out of this quarterback situation that's not there. For as abysmal as the quarterback play of Anthony Richardson has been, and for many who are mocking the level of quarterback play that the Colts have received, I will again reiterate, they were a drop pass away from getting to the playoffs 2 years ago, and they went into week 15 into Denver with a playoff spot on the line against the Denver Broncos. And they ended up finishing with, 8 wins last year? Mm-hmm. Like, they're not this roster that is absolutely nothing going for them. I think they're fine. And so even if the quarterback plays awful, they're going to be a team that I think is good enough on in multiple positions that they're not going to bottom out to the point where they have the fewest wins in the NFL. I'd also note, as part of this strategy here, Remember, we had the quote 2-3 weeks ago. I think you were on vacation. Archie Manning said Arch Manning's not coming out.
Correct.
So now I think that situation changes if, let's say, the New Orleans Saints are taking the first overall pick. Anything can change. Nothing is set in stone, but I do think that that's also a big part of the equation.
Plus, I think there are better teams, too, in the worst market.
Correct.
Available. That spread for week one, Colts laying 1.5 hosting the Miami Dolphins. And we do have, by the way, our good friend Josh Applebaum on the Progressive guest line joining us now. Very excited to get into a handful of different things with Josh, including we might as well actually start in the NFL here while we're transitioning over. Josh, welcome in. You can follow him at Josh_insights, VSiN contributor, a market insights expert. But there is a futures prop on Bo Nix that you have been looking at. What did you like?
Yes, Stormy JBT, happy Monday. Great to be with you. And this is a play for me on taking advantage of a market discrepancy from one book to another. So if you look at Bo Nix, his touchdown passes this year, most of the betting market is 24.5. If you look at basically every book, it's 24.5 around. Some are juiced up over -115, -120. But I went over to ESPN Bet and found Bo Nix over 22.5 passing touchdowns. Now, it's a little bit juicier. It's -145. But just by comparing some books across and against each other, and again, if you're betting through one book, you're really hurting yourself, holding yourself back. Look for some actionable advantages here. So if you're willing to pay a -145 instead of a -115, -120, let's say Bo Nix lands on 23 or 24 touchdowns, you cash that over at ESPN Bet. You lose it at pretty much every other market book. So half of that bet, Stormy, is just playing one book against each other. The other half of it is I'm high on Bo Nix going into this year. Obviously, he was an older rookie in his rookie year, but he played great. He had 29 passing touchdowns. He's now going into year two. He's in his second year with Sean Payton. He's returning pretty much his entire receiving core, Cortland Sutton, Mims, Valet. And they also added Evan Ingram. If he stays healthy, he's a pretty good red zone target there for a possible touchdown or two. So I'm playing this one at ESPN Bet, Bo Nix over 22.5 passing touchdowns at -145.
All right, Josh, let's go to baseball. All eyes will be on a lot of these games. They're all good. But Blue Jays, Pirates, really intriguing with Skeens opposing the best team in the American League. What do we got here?
Yeah, I'm going to take a shot here with Toronto, JBT. And I think this is kind of a play here where if you follow the money and you follow this line move, you're okay betting against Skeens. Now, you're always worried because the guy's incredible. Don't worry about the one loss. He has an ERA of 2.13. But he's going up against Kevin Gausman, who's been pretty good. On the year, he's 8-9, 3.79 ERA. But Gausman has allowed 2 earned runs or less in 7 of his last 9 starts. Meanwhile, Skeens has been great, but he's kind of come back down to earth. You're getting late into the year. He's picked up a lot of innings here. He has a 4.80 ERA in 3 August starts. He's given up 8 runs in 15 innings pitched. You know, 4.80 for Skeens is pretty high. You're used to something around a 2. But in terms of just the market analysis, you know, we opened this game, Pittsburgh, around a -120 home favorite, Toronto around a +100 road dog, and we're basically down to a pick 'em. So we've seen Toronto go from +100 to -110. Pittsburgh's fallen -120 down to -110. That looks to me like some dog to pick 'em sharp action on Toronto. If you look where you guys are at, it's circa 88% of bets, 94% of dollars on Toronto, and then at DraftKings, 65% of bets, 68% of dollars. You also look at kind of the bats in this spot. Toronto is first in baseball batting average against righties and second batting average on the road. Pittsburgh's 26th against righties, 17th at home. Also, Toronto's played better their last 10. I'm going to take the Jays in this spot. Again, Skeens you hate to bet against, but he's kind of come back down to earth the last couple starts, and this line is moving toward Toronto. I got the Jays -105 at BetMGM.
VSiN betting analyst and host of the All Systems Go podcast, Josh Applebaum, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. Also got an MLB article up right now on VSiN.com. Another game that you were angling for today. Cardinals and Marlins. Cards just got swept by the Yankees. Marlins just dropped 2-3 to the Red Sox. Now they're going head-to-head with Miami, laying -144-ish at home. What did you see?
Yeah, Stormy, this one's interesting because both teams are below .500. You know, Miami's favorite around -140, -145 at home. You're getting plus money on St. Louis. You'd think, hey, you know, flip a coin, might as well take the plus money with two kind of bad teams going head-to-head. But I'm actually going to lay with the Marlins here tonight. You have Yuri Perez, righty. He's 5-3, 3.58 ERA for the Marlins. Lefty Matthew Liberatore is 6-10, 4.80 ERA going for St. Louis. But this is another small line move toward Miami. You know, you open this game minus 130, minus 135. They're up to basically minus 140, minus 145. Really good bet split out at Circa, 78% of bets, over 90% of dollars on the Marlins. And then a lot of good betting system matches here. If you look at Monday home teams with a line move, Stormy, they're 63% this year, 9% ROI. When both teams are below 500, take the home favorite off a win. That's 64% with a 5% ROI. And the big one here is if you're a non-division home favorite off a win with line movement in your favor and you're a less than minus 150 home favorite, so you're kind of a cheaper type price, those teams are 64%, 14% ROI this year. Perez has been pretty good at home, 2.08 ERA. And this would also be a correlative betting play for me. Favorite low total, total in this game is 7.5, typically benefits the team that's expected to win. So I'm laying it with the fish here, Stormy. I got Miami minus 140.
All right, Josh, start of a big stretch for the Reds. Three of their next four series are against teams that are sub 500. How does it get started tonight against the Angels?
Yeah, I'm hoping, JBT, no offense, I know you're an Angels guy. I'm rooting for the Reds tonight. You look at the matchup here. Brady Singer's going for Cincinnati. He's 10-9, 4.31 ERA, but he's pitched really well in the month of August. In three starts, he has an ERA of 2.3. He's given up four earned runs in 15.2 innings pitched, and he's given up one earned run or less in three of his last four starts. So he's been pitching really well recently. On the other hand, we got Victor Maderos. Raise your hand if you ever heard of this guy. He's got a 0-0 record, 5.63 ERA. He's making just his second career start, his 11th career MLB appearance. So I'm going to back Singer and fade Maderos. And I also like the fact that this was basically a pick 'em opener, JVT. It was minus 110, basically, both sides. It's not a massive steam move, but you have seen Cincy get up to around minus 115. At DraftKings, 70% of bets, 84% of dollars are coming in on Cincy. You also look at short favorites, minus 120 or less. They're cashing 61% of the time, 15% ROI since August 1st. So that's been a pretty good spot to back those teams. And also they're hitting sixth best in baseball, hitting 254 against righties. LA is 28th in baseball against righties, hitting 234. You also have a better bullpen with the Reds. LA's bullpen is the fifth worst in baseball, ERA of nearly five. So maybe since he finally played the Dragon there with beating the Brewers, maybe they get some momentum. I'm going to play him tonight in LA. I got Cincy minus 115.
Josh, great stuff. We appreciate it. Although I got to tell you, I'm a little bit surprised you didn't come in here talking about the steam move on the total in the preseason game today. Commanders, Bengals, that thing's moved 4 points. I didn't get anything from you.
I know, Stormy. I apologize. I mean, I feel like we're late to the party with these totals. They were crushing the over. Now they've gotten so inflated. They kind of came back down to earth week two. But Stormy, you know you always have me. You say steam, I'm with you.
Love it. Josh, you're awesome. Thank you for the time today. We appreciate it. And congrats again on the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook, which is available now. I've already seen a ton of people on social media giving you a bunch of props and kudos. Well-deserved, my friend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Stormy. I'm sending three copies to Brian Ortega for you, JVT, and Brian. So
beautiful.
Keep an eye out.
We need an autograph. Don't forget the autograph, okay? Josh Applebaum, everybody. Make sure you follow him at Josh_insights. And again, the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook available now. If you go to his social media, he's got a link right there on Amazon for you to get in. And as we talk about all of these line moves, worth noting as well, up at beeson.com, where Josh does have an article up with some of his best bets for the day. You also get access to all of our betting splits, that type of information where he talks about how lines are moving, the handle percentages, the bet ticket percentages, VSiN.com/subscribe. You can start your edge today for just $9.99 for that first month. And you get the looks at both Circa Sportsbook, which is a more professional type of a book, and see how the lines and numbers are shifting there, as well as DraftKings, and you get that wider, more public perception. We're going to step aside when we come back. Best bets presented by GBank coming up after this, and a couple other little fun items before we let you go. Stick around. More Money Moves coming up next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're wrapping up this Monday edition of Money Moves live on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, SiriusXM Channel 158. Stormy Bonantoni, Jonathan Von Tobel with you. One headline we didn't get a chance to touch on a little bit earlier, noting. So the Packers doing a little 7-on-7 work today, and Jordan Love has been taking part fresh off of the surgery he had last week on a torn ligament in his thumb. And apparently things went pretty well. Ryan Wood, Packers beat writer for USA Today, saying he just fired a fastball to Malik Heath over the middle. Just saw another one from Andy Herman, who is a host of the Pack a Day radio show, said, what a throw and catch in 7-on-7. Golden in the extreme back corner at the end of the end zone, and Love could not have possibly placed it any better for the touchdown against Williams and Bullard. Perfect throw. So wow. Brave reviews in our first appearance since the surgery.
We should also note that Rams practice is just ended as of 3 minutes ago, according to people on the ground. According to some, Stafford practiced in full. Ball looked good coming out of his
I saw a nice ball to Devontae Adams.
Oh, yeah?
That
okay.
They did. Yeah.
I did not see that one. It would have been nice to be sent to me by my co-host, who I was doing that to earlier today with all sorts of news and videos. Also, Stafford said it was great to see, Sean McVay, it was great to see Stafford out there. What? I'm just saying.
I saw it literally a moment ago.
Would have been nice.
Whilst speaking, okay? Let me live.
I will see, in fairness, I was also sending you stuff while you were speaking, and I totally didn't listen to what you were saying a couple hours ago.
Okay. There's been a couple times, and I know we've addressed it openly when we go on, but I think that there are certain things I can multitask at, and there are some that I cannot. And there was something last week where you asked me, oh, hey, look it up really quick. I'll keep talking. And you kept talking, and I'm looking it up. And then you asked me a question, and I was like, so here's the thing I looked up for you.
Froze up. I'm also getting distracted because Dave Ross is tweeting out great photos and videos of our new studio.
Yes.
Very much looking forward to Dave starting that endeavor.
When is that debut episode of he and Jensen? Is that coming up on Wednesday, or is it at the end of the week?
There's a rule in broadcasting. You never know. You never ask a question you don't know the answer to.
But you thought you're supposed to ask a question to the person who
to your
knows
compatriot.
The answer. But it is the 20th. So
I'm just saying.
I was right. You're rude, but I was right.
How am I rude? I don't know.
On Wednesday, Jensen.
I'd argue you're rude for
today
putting me in that spot.
Is making the trip. Today, right? I think either today or tomorrow. Jensen is making the trip out there. They'll get out to the Mint, do all of that good stuff. The studio's coming along nice. It looks beautiful.
It looks absolutely tremendous. Very much looking forward to the shows out there.
I told you already, I'm very jealous of the in desk opportunity for monitors that they have in there. That would be very nice to have.
Jealous of the cough buttons,
especially for some content that we may or may not be doing on weekends this season. So
are you doing stuff this weekend?
That's a tease.
You're doing stuff on weekends?
I mean, I have the last couple years, so I would imagine so. Do you have any best bets today?
Let's just go. Just Phillies. Phillies money line minus 115. Like I mentioned, the Tigers were play two, but that's passed. If it gets down to like that $1.35 price, I would say so, yes. But it's just a price grab for me. Like, I understand the respect for the Mariners, and I understand Logan Gilbert's been very good, but I think the Phillies are deserving of a little bit more respect price-wise. The Ranger Suarez on the hill at home. So we'll lay the short money line price with the Phils today.
All right. I don't have anything today, but best bets presented by GBank. I guess it's a best bet singular, the official bank of VSIN.
You want me to add one more before you go?
Sure. Fire.
Let's go with your boys. K-State and Ireland. Minus three.
I love it. I haven't made a decision that game, but I definitely lean Wildcats.
I don't think it's going to go to 2.5. So I feel confident saying that. All right, let's go. I'll lay three.
Okay. I'm good with it, like I said. And we were both very much so in agreement on how the front end of that defense is going to look for Kansas State. I am an Avery Johnson believer, and I know a lot of people like Iowa State and Rocco Beck and all of that stuff, and I'm sure rightfully so, but I feel like I would give K-State the edge there. The market does too, and I'm rolling with you there. But again, best bets presented by GBank, the official bank of VSIN, and the GBank Visa Signature Card is built with bettors in mind. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when you're using your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you 3 to 5% on every deposit. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions, 2% cash back on everything else you buy. You can apply now at vsin.com/gbank. That's vsin.com/gbank. And while I will not be betting it, in an hour, the team from Vegas in the Little League World Series, I'm excited to watch that today, taking on South Carolina. Although, did you see all of these articles and stuff about betting on the Little League World Series and people losing their minds about it, as if it's legal in the States or something? It's not. Any of those lines that are available on the Little League World Series have been offshore.
You're absolutely right about that. I also saw, was it Joe Shad? Somebody was tweeting out the equivalent of, what's worse, betting on the preseason or betting on Little League baseball?
Come on. Why are we always doing this?
What are we talking about? One's betting illegally on, offshore on children. The other is betting on professionals to either win or cover a professional game.
Also, I did live all of the counterpoints of whatever the quote was that had come out of, stop exploiting children for your own personal gain when they're like, but isn't that what the Little League World Series is? Aren't you? Neither here nor there. I just thought that was funny. I'm very excited for that game, though. The team's from Vegas. Should be a fun little back-to-back.
And then, looking forward to it.
As you know, my husband's from the Carolinas, so maybe it's like a little internal battle in the Little League World Series today.
Oh, that's right. What time is that?
It's in an hour, yeah. Noon,
I'll have to show
noon Pacific.
My kids at school is going to say, because he's starting Little League, so I'll have to show him and show him the legends of Little League Las Vegas history.
Spot in the semifinal on the line. Yes. Very good.
Right, well, for the next couple hours, screw Chris. It's all about this, baby.
It is. Let's go. Yeah. One really cool thing. So Jesse Kurtz, who he's come on our network a handful of times. He is the executive producer over at the Mountain West Network, and we see him every year when they have Mountain West Media Days out here. He did the coolest thing for his kids when they were doing Little League back in the day, where he would make those like Little League World Series type intros for his kids. So, like, the team that he coached, every one of the little kids would come up and they'd be like, my name's Kellen Kurtz and my favorite player is so-and-so and I want to be this when I grow up. And I hit dingers skills mm-hmm, to pay the bills, right, yeah. And, like, different stuff like that. They would do their little one-liners. And they did this full, like, orchestrated video for them, for their lineups.
Let's just say I don't like Nevada's chances after looking up some.
Oh, you looked at the, like, offshore odds?
Don't like their chances.
What do we got? What do we got?
Don't like their chances.
Come on. Are you betting the preseason game tonight?
Joe Flacco was a slightly heavier favorite to become the starting quarterback.
Oh, no. Come on. We do have the final game of the NFL preseason, week 2, coming up today with the Commanders and Bengals. We mentioned this earlier. We should see at least a little bit of play from both of the starting offenses today.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see if there's an in-game under angle here. That's what I'll be looking for later tonight. First off, we get the Monday night action, but the fact that we're going to get the starters again. For those who weren't with us, maybe haven't seen the information, we know that the Bengals are going to play their starters. We know that Jane Daniels is going to be out there. The only thing that we really know about the Bengals is that they played 16 snaps in the first game. So we'll see if that mirrors what they're going to do here in this game. For Jane Daniels, haven't seen a snap count, but I will note, as we talked about earlier, 3 of his starting offensive linemen are not going to play today. So I don't know if I really love that in terms of actually putting him at risk. Like, not a lot of deep dropbacks, not a lot of opportunities for him to get pressured or to hit. So I think it's going to be a pretty simplistic offensive output for Washington. Having said that, very simple offenses have also ran roughshod all over this Bengals defense. So hopefully high-scoring first quarter, and then you can get something under in-game to get you home.
The full game total, 43.5. It did open 39, so a 4.5-point move on that. The spread up from 3 to 3.5 with the Cincinnati Bengals favored in that spot. I didn't do anything with the game, but it's something that we talked about a lot earlier in the show and over the past week with the way that the preseason angles have come in on the overs. We had all of those overs in week 1, so immediately there was an adjustment just from the book of how they were going to price these numbers and what it was. I think the average went up from like 33 or 34 and a half to 37 and a half right away. And now you see a total like this that opens 39 and moves another 4.5 points. And yes, overs have been the bell of the ball, especially in week 1, but even this week, 9 and 6 to the over. But are we getting a little bit carried away here? Potentially. I like that angle of just seeing what those offenses do right off the hop and then seeing if you can jump in elsewhere.
Obviously, and you can, you know, obviously go over quickly, or excuse me, get off to a hot start and still game goes under, considering what the play is going to look like on the back end of this game. So, yeah, I'll be watching for that angle for sure. By the way, I should know, I want to ask, Aguilar named the starting quarterback today as well. Did you have anything there? Did you care? That was another one of those where I was like, I don't think I was particularly shocked.
No, I think that was
the job at UCLA.
It was one of those. I think
Tennessee.
Yes, I think that was the expectation going in. And he's a guy I like. And at App State, like, he got a lot of very good reviews from the coaching staff and from a lot of people around him, how he is as a leader, the different things he was able to do. So I wasn't surprised by it. Also, in case you missed our conversation earlier, Julian Sayin officially QB1 for Ohio State as well. There have been a few of these that have come out. Same thing with Ty Simpson last week at Alabama. Like, we've basically, as we've been doing all of these previews, that's the person we have said we expect to guide the offense. So that news came out, and it was, I'm sure, exciting for fans to get the video, but that's about it.
Shane Steichen will speak to the media tomorrow, just for what it's worth. So I'm sure by the time we get on the air tomorrow, we'll have some idea of what the Indianapolis Colts are going to do too.
Okay, and we found out today, Joe Flacco, QB1.
Shocker. That was really
weird. We're getting a lot of shocking quarterback news here, everybody.
To tie that into the betting market, though, again, like, to have him only minus 390, and I had even tweeted at Frank Schwab because he was tweeting about it, like, oh, this is such a shocker. And he even said it to me. He was like, I would have made it, like, minus 10,000 that he was going to be the starting quarterback. That was very surprising. But, again, stipulation is take the snap week 1. So
who's QB2?
That is a very interesting question. Is it going to be the two rookies behind him, or are they going to cut bait with one of them and keep picking?
Maybe something we can discuss tomorrow, but that's a wrap for us today here on Money Moves. But stick around. Coming up next, Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson holding it down with prop points. Have a great day, everybody. Good luck with your bets.